Hey, this is Pastor Mark. You do not want to miss this week's podcast. You're going to laugh till you cry, but it's good tears. They're good tears. So, man, tune in, listen to this podcast. It's going to inspire you, encourage you, and prayerfully help bring change that you desire in your life. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
I've got a really brief message for you today. It'll be kind of a unique Easter message. It's not fluffy. It's not that way. Listen to me. Easter, if you will, which I hate calling this Resurrection Sunday, is one of the most, and I must say this carefully, one of the most violent holidays that we ever recognize. It was so violent that Jesus himself was not even recognizable. After his beating, you couldn't even tell who he was. When we tell this story, oftentimes it comes off as, well, he was crucified, it was clean. No, there was blood everywhere. There were fragments of skin all over the place. And in that moment, Jesus knew that this is what I've got to do to win my Father's creation. But he went on to tell us, even before he was crucified, exactly how it was going to play out. He was far more organized than Mosaic Church. He didn't say, well, I think in 3 days, somewhere in that area, maybe day 4 or 2, I don't know, I just kind of want to surprise you. But see, he was so connected to the Father, the plan went off just as he told the disciples before he was ever crucified. So I entitled this message several different things: Jesus the Revolutionary, or Resurrection Revolution. And quite frankly, our country and our world needs a revolution. It requires, a revolution requires a goal, a purpose, a standard for which we are in pursuit of. In other words, we're not just frustrated and we don't know why. We're frustrated not because we live in the midst of a world who has denied Christ and mocked Christ and mocked Christians. They're not our problem. Other people are not the problem. Jesus proved that when he was on earth. Matter of fact, the only people that got mad at Jesus were religious people. The Pharisees were constantly writing laws and making laws, and the Sadducees didn't even believe in the resurrection. So Jesus, what does he do? He goes outside the religious circles. And again, I'm not trying to minimize tradition and worship and all of that, but I am saying this. You don't get to go to heaven because you're a deacon, an usher, an elder, a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist. We don't get to go to heaven because of that. I wish we did. I wish I had a free pass. Because trust me, pastors have to fight every week all of these different emotions about, okay, do they like me? Do they hate me? Why are they showing up? I mean, every now and then there are people that show up. I'm thinking, why are you even here? You don't like me. Are you on assignment from hell? If so, I feel it every now and then. It's like, why can't we just say, no, I'm committed to what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever soever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. And everything about Jesus was attacked and assaulted. Here he is, perfectly innocent, and yet getting crucified. A scripture I love and didn't understand for a long time, and I'm still not sure I understand it all. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. Now notice, the kingdom of heaven. So if you are born again, you are a part of the kingdom of heaven. There is a violent assault against your commitment to follow Christ. So when you get born again, you change jerseys. You go from the losing team, the demonic team, to the Christian team, the forgiven team, and they don't like losing players. And so there's an assault on your commitment to follow Christ. When you're on your way to hell, you're on your way to hell. There's no need to even mess with you. But when you get born again, you'll have friends that you thought were friends back in the day. You haven't talked to them in years. They will call you. It's not that they're bad people, but they want you back, and they don't know they want you back, but the devil knows he wants you back. When I got born again, I changed my phone number, my address, everything in order to avoid that part of the fight. Because I was a committed Christian. When I got born again, I mean, I slobbered. I was not one of these just really repent. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I boo-hooed, I cried, there was snot. There won't be another church say snot today. But I just was so thrilled to be free. And violent men seize it by force. Seize what? The kingdom. You cannot just be barely saved. There's nothing in the Bible that says, well, there, I would say you're about a 5 on the scale of 1 to 10. So listen, you'll live somewhere in the ghetto in heaven. You don't get to go to the burbs. You don't get to have a pool. You're going to live in the ghetto. It's going to be dangerous, but Jesus will be there. He'll visit once a week. But he's hanging out in the burbs when we get to heaven. No, you either saved or you're not saved. You're committed or you're not committed. Now, when I say that, some of y'all like, you're gonna go out, you're going to do the same thing this week you did last week, but now you're born again. Religious people hate it when I talk this way. Bible says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So what changes? Well, first off, when you get born again, that gives you your place in heaven. You're forgiven. But a lot of people never change, and what they don't understand is you will suffer the consequences here on earth. So when you get born again, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and the Bible says he will quicken you. So now what we have to do is get up every day and include and involve the Holy Spirit. There are days, if I forget, I wait about middle of the day, I go, hold it. Because I get up and I say this, good morning, Holy Spirit, I surrender my life to you and I submit my will to you. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Yeah, it's a really big deal because your will is so strong. You're stubborn, don't elbow your spouse. We all have this stubborn thing in us. We want our way. Even Jesus struggled with this. He's in the garden praying. And he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. What was happening in that moment? The will of humanity was fully God, fully man, and the will of man is fighting against the will of God. And Jesus finishes that prayer with, but your will be done. So there are three things you can remember from here. There are the facts, the freaks, and the frustrations. So what does this have to do with Easter? I'll tell you in a minute. But man, I'm going to tell you, there were some freaks in the Bible, and there were some freak things that happened in the Bible. Matter of fact, they were so freaky that even if you were committed, if it happened today, you'd be like, I don't know about that. I need to think about if I even want to be in this camp. You know what I'm saying? But you may not be the one getting free. See, I got to the point where I didn't care what anybody said about me because I was ready to die, not ready spiritually, but living was not fun anymore. I needed something beyond just kumbaya. I didn't just need Jesus to come by here. I needed Jesus to invade here, violently assault the will of Mark Crow, violently take over where the violence of hell was coming against me. Now, this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. If we want to access what God has for us, we have to be intentional. We don't accidentally have good days. We intentionally have good days. And some of those days with good intentions are even tough. I was reading an excerpt from a very well-known person about a month ago, and he said, actually, I was listening to a podcast, and he said, you know, he got radically born again. You would know him if I said his name, but I'm not going to because some of you will judge me for even following because we all have an opinion about people we don't like, except Will Rogers, and he liked everybody. And I beg to differ. I'm going to talk to him when I get to heaven. I think he's going to say, Will, come on, man. You know, you weren't fooling God. I never met a man I didn't like. You didn't say woman. Hey, easy, 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 easy. Wow. See how demonic that got real quick? But we all have these moments. And he said this. He said, I still have, after getting radically born again, he said, I still have a bad moment every now and then. I have a bad hour. He said, but I have chosen to never have a bad day again. He said, I've chosen. You see, you get to choose. Not all days are going to bring you bliss and wonder. Some days are going to bring you challenges, and they're going to be difficult, and you're going to lose clients, and you're going to lose friends, and you're going to... And you say, I thought this would be a good news. This is good news, because when you have Jesus, you can take any loss and turn it into a victory, because he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I'm going to be your friend always. But when we get too friendly, sometimes we depend on other people to become a human Messiah. As long as they like me, as long as everything's good between us, I'm good. Look, I love getting along with people. I love getting along. I love being liked, and I love liking people. Unfortunately, as a pastor, not everybody likes me. Because I stand up and say things sometimes that I wish I hadn't said as well. So just forgive me, because I will say things I don't even like. I lay down on Sunday night and go, why did I say that? What was I thinking? And like the devil says, you weren't. That's why you said it, dummy. This is how he rolls. He is the accuser of the brethren. I hate that word brethren. When I first got born again, they called me brother. I said, I ain't your brother. See, I didn't come from that background. But you get to choose. You have the power of God inside you to choose. You see, here's the challenge. You see, why do we need a revolution? There's a table showing changes in U.S. church attendance between 2000 and 2003 and 2021 and 2023. So now we got post-pandemic and about 20 years pre-pandemic. Overall, regular religious services attendance among U.S. adults has declined from 42% to 30%, with declines among most groups. You don't think we need a revolution? Listen, I love everybody. I legitimately love everybody. Now, I don't always show it, but I do. Because, you know, I don't know everybody, but I love everybody. But with that said, I don't agree with everybody, and everybody doesn't agree with me. So here's the problem. We need to quit trying to agree with everybody and just accept everybody. Now, when I say accept, it doesn't mean if I'm doing something wrong. I've got really good friends. If I get stupid, they will tell me, Mark, you're getting stupid. And they're preachers. They're not like, oh, brethren, thou should probably straighten up a bit. No. They use the word, you're getting stupid. And you know what? I love it when they say that. It makes me, you say, well, he's really strange. Well, you know. I like knowing that there are people that love me enough, that believe in me enough, that would challenge me enough. So if you ever think about leaving a church, I would look at you and I'd say, look, did the Holy Spirit tell you, or are you just mad at me? Because if you're just mad at me, you need to stick it out, brother. And get over yourself. Sorry I had to throw that jab in. And see, once you get born again, like some of you did today, here's the reality. In 1775, the American Revolutionary War began to break free from British colonies and the tyranny of being overseen by the Brits. 1776, we call it Independence Day, July 4th, Independence Day. But guess what? After Independence Day, in 1776, it was 7 more years before Britain even gave us that freedom. We took it, but they didn't acknowledge it. You see, once you get born again, you get free. You get your independence. You get stronger. But the reality is the devil says, I'm not letting you be free. I'm going to keep fighting your freedom. I'm going to keep fighting your choice. So it's not one time. A revolution is not over in a day. Some revolutions I've studied it took 23 years. Some of them took 10 years. Some of them took 8 years. These revolutions, people, listen, the devil doesn't want to let you go. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And boy, when you start living right and things start going right, then all of a sudden one day things go south. Don't go south with them. You stand strong and say, I have made a commitment, because that's what Jesus did. He made a commitment. There are no shortcuts. I would love to tell you the rest of your life now is going to be full of peace and ease. I hate to tell you, the Bible says now we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. You've joined the army of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There is a battle for your destiny. There's a battle for your call. There's a battle for why God puts you here. And some of you have resisted. It's, I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. I quit. You need to realize that God put you here for a reason. About 8 years ago, I was going to be fine. I was never going to preach again. And I was okay with Jesus. And when he told me to come back to this wonderful city filled with mountains and beaches, people all over the world can't wait to be here. It's on their bucket list. After all, we are known for crazy things like our tornadoes. Wow, I've got to go there. I want to ride one. This is not a state fair ride. This is the real deal. And so we get caught in that. And so Jesus knows why he's here. And you say, why is this important? After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet, not the king, not the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Wouldn't it have been great to have a kingdom without a cross? Wouldn't that have been great if Jesus could have said, man, they get it. They get it. It's only one more difference, a prophet versus king. No, I can do this. No, you can't. You can't take shortcuts. You have to be committed to the process. Committed to follow Jesus all the way to the violent end that the devil wants you to take. We don't pray little prayers anymore like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. No. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I'm about to die, wake me up! No patty cake prayers. I'm not giving in that easily. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. We pray weak prayers because we think we have a weak God. We don't trust. This is a pivotal day for some of you. And before we leave, I will probably wish you a Merry Christmas because that's the next time I'll see you. You see, we've made special days, but we serve a special God. And he's special every day, not just at Easter and Christmas. He's special every day. Stop praying sissy prayers. So let me get to the freak part, because that's why y'all are curious. Where do you get this idea? I had a sermon already prepared, ready to print out, and at like 9 o'clock on a Thursday night, God goes, here it is. And I went, really, again? This is Easter, God. I had my game plan laid out. Had every point laid out. What are you up to? I think God looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at God, and they go, we got him again. Yeah, yeah. But see, we in Christianity, we want everybody to look like us, dress like us, act like us. We live in a world. Listen, when I was a kid, if you had red hair, it was authentic. I mean, you were really red. But now, we have turquoise. Some people have so many piercings that when they drink water, they leak. And you know you're getting old when you look and say, I can't believe they dress that way. I don't say it because I don't want to reflect that I am getting older. But I look and I go, where did you come up? I mean, they've got chains and stuff connected to places. I didn't know you could do it. I mean, I like, why? Why? You want attention? I'll give it to you for free. You don't have to pay for another piercing. I'll give it. But see, here's the deal. That's how come they're outside the church, because the church has looked at them like they're aliens. Instead of saying, I don't care what you look like. You can be as freaky to me as you want to be. And they'd look at you and go, you're the freak. You have nothing. You're vanilla. You need some sprinkles in your life. See, we look at each other that way instead of just looking and saying, I love you. And I'll get beyond the turquoise with all the piercings. I'll get beyond that. But see, old school religion says if you even have a tattoo, you mark your body up. And people go find stuff so stupid. I got a message this week about some kid. This person from another state was getting our advice and said, you know, they have long hair. I thought, well, at least they have hair. I'd take some. Thank God, man. If I had hair right now, if I had enough, I'd grow it out. But we get all hung up on whether a man has long hair or a woman wears a head cap. We're all hung up on these religious traditions. But the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turquoise hair, piercings, thongs in the church, wear flip-flops. Here you are. That's why Jesus Revolution, Chuck Smith, Costa Mesa, California, was so powerful, because finally this church said, we got all these beach people coming in barefoot with sand on their feet. What are we going to do? They literally were going to shut the church down and send them out. And finally, Chuck Smith said, ain't happening. These are the people that Jesus sent here, and these are the people we're going to love and minister to and care for. I think next Resurrection Sunday, I'm going to call it Raunchy Resurrection Sunday. Wear your worst. Wear your worst. You say, but it's an honor to dress up. My wife goes, I like to dress up. I said, I like to wear shorts and flip-flops. And I can tell you right now, there'd be some people, we're out of here. He's going to hell. He's going fast. You see what I'm saying? Jesus dealt with these. Listen to this. This is John's wardrobe. Clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist, the man next to Jesus. Why? He's the only one where they talk about a wardrobe in the Bible. Really, I mean, it had to be strange. Why would they mention it? It's a strange dude. And I guarantee you, he had long hair. There wasn't a barber shop in the community. Yet, we have this image of what Christianity looks like. Let me tell you what Christianity really looks like to me. People who know how to love and forgive, show grace and mercy. Christianity says, I'm going to do my best to make sure you're your best. I'm not going to do my best to make me look the best. I'm going to do my best to pull out the best in you. That's Christianity to me. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It takes a lot of patience, and you're trying to fix somebody else. And God really dealt with me. He said, Mark, you can't even fix you. And you think you can fix somebody else? No, every day I get up, and I'm like trying to fix. I don't even, Susan, I love Susan. I'm just trying to fix me. But what if she's ever mean? Okay, I think I can go on. No, even if we have difficulty, I realize she has a right to be who she wants to be in that moment, because I do the same. And I just have determined, rather than argue, I go, it's okay, honey. It ain't okay. My feelings are hurt. Guess what? Notice I said my feelings. And if my feelings are hurt, guess what? That's my problem. Great peace have those who love the law of God. Nothing shall offend them. Wouldn't it be great if somebody came up and said, you're the grossest human being I've ever seen. You look and say, thank you so much. Would you pray for me? You see, Christianity is a very violent faith. It's a very violent, because the violence takes place on the inside. It's not an external violence, it's an internal violence. The devil violently wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your destiny. He's very violent about it. And Jesus said, I'll show you what violence is. I'll be unrecognizable after they beat me, and I will stand for those that seek me. And all who seek me shall find me. It's a violent thing. Now listen to this. Jesus cast out demons that went into pigs. That's pretty violent, wouldn't you say? I mean, can you imagine sitting there, you're kind of on that hillside, and the Gadarene is demon-possessed. Nobody went around him because he was so violent. And Jesus cast him out and sent it into pigs, and they went and drowned. Some cool Bible stories, man. I mean, it'd just be so awesome to be there and go, this guy, who is this guy? Who is this guy? You see, we have Jesus as this timid, little bitty, sissy kind of guy. Matter of fact, Hollywood, every time almost you see Jesus in Hollywood, he's like, you're like, who? Because they make him look weak. I spent some time with Jim Caviezel, actually a full day with him after the Passion of the Christ. And the stories he began to tell me in preparation for playing that role were absolutely violent. He had major surgery. He had hypothermia on the scene on the cross. You need to go back and Google all the injuries that he had just playing the role of Jesus. It was a violent... Mel Gibson told him, you will be blackballed or blacklisted in Hollywood if you take this role. And he came back to Mel Gibson and says, well, I thought about this and I prayed about it. And he said, my initials are JC, Jim Caviezel. I'm 33 years old. Mel Gibson got weirded out. He said, you got to stop. It was violent. That's the only portrayal of Christ that I went, this is probably close to accurate. And even still, a distance away. Then lastly, the frustrations. The people closest to Jesus, his disciples, his followers, were in the garden with him just pre-crucifixion. And all Jesus asked, could you just pray with me? And he would go away and he would come back and they'd be asleep. Go away, come back, they'd be asleep. And he finally said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Could you not? I mean, this is the moment that Jesus is having to face just a brief time away. Face being crucified. And not just physically would he suffer, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You see what was happening, the reason the Jews didn't accept Jesus, because they were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for someone to come and take over the Roman government that was oppressing them. So when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus was a spiritual Messiah, not a political Messiah. And I want to tell you the story here. In our country, we need a spiritual revolution, not a political revolution. Because the minute the Spirit of God gets involved, he can change everything. We all have emotions when we think about it and talk about it. But Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And here are the closing thoughts. Our flesh versus our spirit. Your flesh, I mean our flesh, I mean, man, I'm going to tell you, when I walk by certain food aisles, my flesh just starts going, you want it, you know it, go ahead and grab it. No, I'm just going to tell you, I finally in my pantry labeled those foods Satan's food. So when I know I'm eating it, I know I have to cast the calories out. Come out. Our will versus his will. Your will is so strong, my will is so strong that I have to discipline my will on a regular basis, like daily. God, not my will, but your will be done. God, I really want you to take them out. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all going, yeah, there's some people. God, if you did, I just, okay. And you know it's wrong. And I have to go, God, forgive me. I still want it, but how do I deal with it? I take them out, but forgive me for wanting to take them out. But go ahead, God. Do you ever wrestle with your thoughts? I wrestle with my thoughts all the time. And somehow I try to figure it out. And if it happens, I'm like, kill him, because God's not that guy, but I'm just saying, but every now and then I kind of ask him to become a little more like me instead of me being created in his image and likeness. There are times I go, God, I want you to be created in mine just for a minute. Our feelings versus our knowledge, and this is the big one. When you know better, you go better. Don't go with your feelings. Don't go with your emotions. Underneath this is flesh and fatigue. We get tired. And Paul said this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is my story of my life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back down. Close with this. Philip Brooks wrote, bad will be the day for every man when he becomes absolutely content with the life he's living, with the thoughts he's thinking, with the deeds that he's doing, when there is not forever meeting at the doors of his soul some great desire to do something larger, which he knows that he was meant and made to do because he is still a child of God. God, help the day that we become content with just going to heaven. Because that literally, when I got born again, that was my only goal, is I want to go to heaven. Little did I know that I would live a longer life and that I would need heaven to come to me. Don't be content. And I'm not saying, you know, don't be like content with God, but I'm saying you were created with purpose. Getting up on Sunday morning and coming to church is difficult for many people. And I'm not trying to say that to be mean. But you're busy. Your kids have, I mean, kids nowadays, there's something going on all the time. And they don't care what day it is. Church is just another option on the buffet of choices in life. And it has to stop or we'll continue to lose people. We'll lose a generation. Your kids, you can tell them about Jesus all you want, but they want to see him lived out. They want to see you committed to sacrificing certain days and things and times to say Jesus is more important than this or that. How important is he to you? You say, well, you know, church doesn't save me. No, but it sure helps fill you so you can walk this life out. I thank God that I am required to come up with something every week to talk to you about. And boy, there are Thursdays and Fridays that I look and go, God, you got to do something up in here. These people are going to come and they're going to look at me, and if I don't have something to say, they're going, uh-huh. There's a constant squeeze on my life to hear God. And he disrupts my sleep. I think maybe I didn't pay attention during the day. Because sometimes I lay down and God goes, okay, here it is. I'm like, really? Now, here's what I started doing. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I said, if I remember this in the morning, it must be God. I don't even record it or write it down anymore. I got back at him. Okay, God, you want to talk to me at night? Remind me in the morning. And he does. It's an amazing thing. He didn't even get mad at me. Imagine that. It's like, I'll show you. Saturday, noon. What? Know this. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being more than enough. Not the God of just enough, barely enough, not enough. You're the God of more than enough. You have everything we need and then some. And God, I pray for everyone today that gave their life to you, Jesus. I pray that, Lord, they would continue to just violently look at Christianity and their newfound faith and say, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to quit. When I fall down, I'm going to get up. When I make a mistake, I'm going to repent. God, I refuse to stop. I refuse to listen to the criticism of those who say, you're not really saved. If you were, you would. And then they go on from there. God, please understand, like I know you do, our humanity, our own strong will. And Jesus, help us to daily surrender to you and submit our wills to your will. Amen. At this time, I want to receive our tithes and offerings. Just a moment, our prayer team will be to my right, your left, and at the end of this worship experience, if you need prayer for your family, any reason whatsoever, they will pray with you, they will bless you, they'll do whatever, they're not going to get in your business So not just those of you who gave your life to Jesus, but those of you who did, I want you to go and say, pray for me, okay? So this is just something we do every week. We don't twist arms. If you want to give, we have several ways for you to do it. And that's all I'm going to say. You know, we don't have any begging or anything going on. If you want to give today, there's a QR code. If you have a smartphone up there in the corner, you can put it on there and you can give that way. Very simple. You can set up on debit card or credit card. You can also text the word give to 405-546-2226. 405-546-2226. And again, you text the word give to that. You can set it up on a debit card or credit card. You can give on your way out. You can mail it to 5821 Northwest Expressway, Oklahoma City, 73132. Or you can go to mosaicokc.church/give. So many different ways to do that. But I want you to know we appreciate you and all of you who faithfully give. It really takes a lot of pressure off, and I want to thank you for that. We're like you. We got all kinds of bills to pay. Just to be in this building is $15,000 a month. I know it kind of takes the wind out of you, doesn't it? And that's just the beginning. So those of you that faithfully give, you get to say, hey, I'm helping out, and we appreciate that, okay? If this is your first time here, we have a gift for you at the Welcome Kiosk. Please stop by and pick it up. And I want to invite you back next week. If this is your first time, you said we don't have a home church. We'd like to come back and see what next week's like. It's just like this one. Only next week I may say something that is more offensive. I have no idea. I wonder what he's going to say this week. It's always fun. And so, but we love you. I love all kinds of people, and that's what you'll see here is all kinds of people. And you don't have to dress up. You know, if it's hot, which I hope to God it consistently gets hot. And, you know, people wear shorts and all that here. So just want you to know that we love you. God loves you. Okay, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to my right, your left. And please stop by and just say, hey, man, I gave my life to Jesus today. My name is. Pray for me. And they'll pray for you. And they'll pray for you all week and throughout the weeks to come. All right? So we're going to go out with a shout because this is what we do. I'm loud. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Mark Crowe. I just want to take a quick moment to thank you for joining us online. We hope you have a blessed week this week and get to be a blessing to those around you. I want to invite you to join us at Mosaic Church OKC next week at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or join us online. God bless you.